Well, we're going to get right into it this morning. The title of my message this morning, I always struggle with a good title. And so, I went through about 10 titles, but I finally landed on this. And I know you're going to think when you hear the name of this title, you're going to think, oh, that was the best one he could come up with. But the title of my morning is Ready, Set, Go. You can feel the rest of it, and that's the end of my title. Hopefully you can put something on the end of that by the time you leave here today. But today I just feel like this message today is a message of encouragement. I believe it's a message today that God wants to inspire us, to motivate us this morning, and to empower us to continue on. Amen? Continue on. Whatever it is that He's laid before you, continue on. Continue on in your fight for your family. Continue on in your ministry calling. Continue on in maybe a business that God's given you. Continue on in the pursuit of being a godly husband or a godly father that He's called you to, a godly mother, a wife that He's called you to be, son, daughter, friend, minister, whatever it is that He's laid before you. I just believe that He wants to inspire us this morning. He wants to encourage us this morning. Today, I just believe that He wants to help us kind of rejuvenate. We're at the mid-year. We're at mid-year, and I know sometimes things get tough. Sometimes the fight gets long, but I just believe that He's come to us today. And this message to us today is a message to motivate us, to empower us, and to help us continue on. Amen? How many of you need some help sometimes continuing on? God has had us in a season in this church. Kind of our theme this year has been we're going to the other side. How many of y'all still, is that fresh in your heart? Is that fresh in your spirit? That God's taken us to the other side. God's taken us to a level in Him, a place in Him that we haven't been before. But He's taken us to a new place. God wants to set a new precedence in your life and in this church. A new precedence for the way we live and what we expect and what we anticipate and what we walk in. Amen? We're going to the other side. Y'all say that with me. Say, I'm going to the other side. Yeah, I'll have y'all repeat a lot because I'm used to kids' church. And, when we ask them to repeat something, they yell it back. So y'all got to be a little bit louder this morning, you know, to make me feel comfortable. I might even go get my bucket of gum and Starburst and hand some out for the real, real good participators. But anyway, we're going to the other side. And for most of us, I'll tell you what, we've had a great start. We've had a great start. God has done great things in this year. We had so many testimonies, so many things that God's done. Man, a lot of you started off the year just with that passion, that faith, that desire to see God do something bigger and better. And we've got off to a good start. But I know for many of you, it's been struggle after struggle. Maybe victory after victory, but the struggle has been tough. Some of you, the battles have been long. The battles have been hard fought. You've faced a lot of opposition. And maybe today you're here and you're tired. Maybe today you're here and you look back and you see that you've slipped. You see that you've had some failures. You've had some weaknesses that you've had to walk through. That happens. Does anybody else in here? I mean, for me, sometimes I feel like I've got more failures in my life than I have successes. Sometimes I feel like I'm always coming to God, having to come to God, repenting, you know, and saying, God, have mercy on me, rather than rejoicing in what He's done. But we all mess up. Does anybody else in here walk through weaknesses and failures this year? Have you walked through that? There may be somebody in here that, man, every day you get up, you just knock it out of the park. You're perfect. You don't have any problems. You do everything right, and you can't think of anything that's going on wrong in your life. If that's you, we want you to stand out at the exit as we leave today and just let the rest of us walk past your shadow, if that's you. But chances are that most of you, the rest of you, normal people, you've walked through some things. You've walked through some weaknesses. You've walked through some failures. And so today, I believe that God has a message for us. God has a word for us at the midpoint of this year. I feel like today that it's kind of like halftime. It's kind of like halftime. Are there any coaches in the house? Are any coaches in here? Raise your hand if you're a coach. Oh, hey, yes. Yeah. We got, Eldorado's finest right back here. A coach. And so, man, I just feel like this is one of those halftime moments where it's been a hard first half. It's been a hard first half. And you know how it is. The coaches, they gather the team together. they have this awesome speech, this fiery speech that inspires and brings the team together and just stirs something up inside them and enables them to go out the second half and do beyond the impossible, go beyond what anybody expected. And I feel like this is one of those moments. Now, I've had a short experience as a coach. Now, it wasn't professional. I'm not a professional like the other coaches. So kudos to the coaches. And some of you I've heard about my coaching experience. But I've had a short stint as a coach. I have to tell you, I was a bad coach. I was a horrible coach. But I remember one particular game when we were outmatched. We were severely outmatched. The coach didn't even believe there was a chance. But I remember playing that game in the first half. Man, we just were getting it handed to us. And so I remember at halftime, I remember gathering the team together, and man, I get fired up. I get a little animated. I'm competitive. I get into things. And so, man, I gathered the team together and I was like, I know you want to win. You gotta want to win. I told them, man, you gotta dig deep. You gotta give it all you got. You can beat this team. And I was getting off and the players, I could see them. They were looking at me. Some of them had tears in their eyes. They did. Because they were 12 to 14 year old girls. They weren't ready for that. So Nicole had to come and console them. You know, she had to take care of the ones that were tearing up. It wasn't because of my speech. They were just scared. What is Coach Dan? You know, but I'll never forget that game. Man, they came out in the third quarter. They came out in the third quarter and they shut the beast down. They shut down the other team. The other team hardly scored a point in the other quarter. And we got on a run. And man, things were good and good. They came back to the bench at the end of the third quarter. And I was like, you did it. You did it. And they did. They did it. They gave it all they had. They didn't have any more. They got it handed to them again in the fourth quarter. And so, you know, I'd like to say this had a better turnout, but it didn't. But for that moment, they rallied, you know. They rallied. The troops were rallied. And so I just feel like we're at a moment like that. We're at a halftime moment where I just believe we're in a time where God is wanting to call us together, where God is wanting to rally the troops, and God is wanting to inspire us and to convince us and to let us know you have what it takes to finish the fight. You have what it takes to run the rest of the race, not just for one quarter, but go the distance. And I believe that is one of those moments today. And, you know, I'm a horrible coach. Thank God I'm not your coach. But we have a coach. We have a coach that's a good coach. We have a coach that comes alongside of us. That comes alongside of us. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And he wants to come alongside you wherever you are. Wherever he finds you, whatever position that he finds you in, he will come alongside you. And I just believe that this morning, God's presence is here. God's anointing is here to wrap his loving arms around you and do whatever it takes. He's ready to wrap his arms around you and lift you up. He's ready to wrap his arms around you and lead you. He's ready to wrap his arms around you and carry you if he has to. Whatever it takes. We have a coach that's ready to come alongside us this morning, and he wants to inspire us, and he wants to empower us, and he wants us to just remember and let us know exactly what it is we have inside of us. We have the strength to finish this thing. We have the strength to carry on and go to the other side. And that's the message that we have here for you this morning. That's the message that God's given me to deliver to you this morning. I'm not standing up here as the preacher who's doing everything right and knows everything right to say, has all the right words. But I'm standing up here before you. I'm a fellow soldier. I'm standing up here to you. I'm on the same battlefield you are. But I'm standing here this morning with a message from the King. Amen? I'm standing here this morning with a message from the King. And he wants you to know something today. He wants you to know that whatever it is that you lack, he's got it. Whatever it is that you need, he can provide it. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, he's coming to you this morning to give you power to overcome. And he's going to take us to the other side. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to just see what the Lord has to say for us this morning. So just want you to know that I'm right here in it with you and that God's got a good word for us today. Are you ready? Ready? Set? All right. You got to say it with anticipation when you say it though. All right, y'all say it with me. Ready, set. All right. Some of you just can't say it without saying go. I know. But anyway, that's not the title, okay? All right. And I will say, Sister Doris, where you at? The one Sunday that I'm not in kids' church, she brought cake and ice cream. I don't know if that was planned or not, but it's okay. The enemy stole that from me. I get seven times what he stole. That's a, you don't got to bring all seven cakes, but, you know. So anyway, I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you drug yourself in here this morning. Maybe you had to put on your church face before you got out of the car this morning. But the good news is you are here. You are here. You are right where you need to be. I love what Pastor Cricket always said. He said, if you can go anywhere else and know that you're going to encounter God. But when you come to the house of God, we know that His presence is here. The Bible says where two or more are gathered in His name, He is in our midst. He is in their midst. Did anybody else come in the name of the Lord Jesus today? Did anybody else come? I got one right here. I got two. I got three. We got more. His presence is here. He is in our midst. He is in our midst. And so let's just pray right now. Father God, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you are in our midst today. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you have a word, God, for us today, Lord God. And your word is always life, God. Your word produces life. God, produce life in us today. Produce a fire and a flame in us today, Lord God. I pray that you would ignite our hearts, God, with your word today, Lord. Anoint me as I speak. Lord, I pray that I will speak your word today, God, and your word only, Lord God. And you would allow us to hear what the Spirit is saying. God, help us to have ears to hear, eyes to see. God, what the Spirit is saying to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, there's a passage in the Bible that really just goes hand in hand with what I want to talk to you today. And so we're going to go there. It's in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. And I normally don't like to do this, but I'm just going to go ahead and read the whole story. We're going to do John 21, 1 through 17. 1 through 17. It says, I'll give you a second to turn there. Joe, if you're following me on the screen, I'm just going to do the whole thing. It's New King James. John 21:1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we're going with you. So they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. I hope this is not going to be your situation when you go on vacation. Hopefully you'll have some food. Have you catch some? Anyway, he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast the net. And now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, John, the Revelator, had a revelation right here. He said, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he'd removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals. I want you to notice there, it's a fire of coals there. And the fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although they were so many, the net wasn't broken. And Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Now, this is how the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And in verse 15, so then they had eaten breakfast, and Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. In verse 16, he said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved, and he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And so as we look at this passage, we're going to focus on Peter. This was about all the disciples, but let's focus on Peter, because I believe Peter was one of the main ones in the focus of this passage anyway. But I want us to consider Peter, and I want us to think about Peter's heart, and I want us to think about the state of Peter's mind and the entire scene and how this entire scene, I believe, was orchestrated for Peter's restoration. You see, it was a tough time. It was a tough time for Christianity, right? Jesus, the leader of the ministry, Jesus had been arrested, tortured, beaten, and killed. Another one of the leaders, one of the 12, Judas, had failed so horribly, he betrayed Jesus. And then he committed suicide. And then you have another one of the 12, another one of the main leaders, the forefront of the Christian ministry and the movement and carrying on the gospel, Peter. He had failed miserably and he had denied Jesus 3 times. He denied Jesus. And Peter had failed to find forgiveness and healing from that moment. And so this is kind of where they are. Jesus had shown up a couple of times already, but the disciples were still confused. I think Peter was still frustrated, didn't know what to do. Jesus would no longer be with him day to day. You know, but this was a man who, you remember though, Peter, this is a man who said he was with Jesus day after day. This is somebody who said, if nobody else follows you, I'll follow you. But then he finds himself in a place where he had let Jesus down miserably. He had let him down miserably. And look, as we go through this, I want us to do something. I want us to find ourselves in this scripture. I want us to find ourselves in this passage. I believe that God gives us his word so that we can find ourselves in the word, so we can identify with the word, because the same thing that God is speaking in this situation to them, he wants to speak to us today. So I want you to find yourself in this passage. I want you to find yourself and identify with what's going on here and what's going on with Peter. But this is a man who left everything behind to follow Jesus. Day in and day out, he loved Jesus. It was his life. He loved Jesus. But he found himself where we often find ourselves. He had fallen flat on his face. He had failed God miserably. And I know how many times I wish, boy, I could just rewind. Let me just rewind 10 minutes. Just rewind, you know, sometimes 24 hours. Sometimes I need to do a whole day over. I don't know about y'all. But how many times do we find ourselves in this position that we have just failed God miserably? And this is where Peter was. He had failed God miserably. And in those times, the enemy wants to use our failures to cause us to give up. And in those times, the enemy would like to use our failures to drive us back to where we were before we met Jesus. And this is where the disciples found themselves. Peter said, I'm going fishing. Now, he wasn't just going on a leisurely fishing trip. This is what they knew. This was their roots. They were commercial fishermen. So he said, I'm going fishing. They went back. They readied their nets. They went out and they worked all night. He was allowing this thing, this failure, this intimidation. I can't imagine what's going on through Peter's mind. We can only guess what's going on through his mind. But I know what goes on in my mind sometimes when I fail. I know what the enemy tries to do to me. He tries to use our failures to push us back to that place, back to the old way of life, back to the old way of doing things. He tries to convince us that we're not cut out for this Christian walk. Or for this ministry. Or maybe you've tried to be a husband. Maybe you've tried to be a dad that God's called you to be. Maybe you really tried to work on that, but you failed. And you failed. And those failures, you're just almost ready to say, I give up. I can't do it. Has anybody else ever been there? Yeah. Peter was there. The disciples were there. I know in Peter's mind, I think that he was wondering, is this ministry thing, am I even cut out for this? You know what? I'm just going to go back to the way things were. I'm going fishing. I'm going to do what I know. I know I'm good at that. I'm going back to fishing. So in verse 3 there, Simon Peter said, he said, I'm going fishing. Now, there's nothing wrong with a fishing trip. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's something wrong with going fishing. You know, now I do question those that go fishing on Sunday, you know. I do question that. I don't know. We'll have to pray about that one a little bit. But anyway, at least they're going to church twice in the morning. Okay. So, anyway, not that I'm singling them out or anything. So anyway, it's okay to go fishing. Okay. Fishing trips are okay. But it wasn't about a fishing trip. He wasn't just going he wasn't just going to clear his head. He was going back to what he knew. And I really believe in that moment he was struggling with, can I even continue in this thing? And maybe some of you are there today. Maybe you're struggling with the things that you've done and your failures, and you're wondering again, do I even have what it takes? Do I even have what it takes to continue? How many times has the enemy tried to do that in your life? Is it just me? Am I the only one? Or how many times you fought that because of your failures? You fought that, and the enemy's tried to convince you that you just need to give up. Just quit trying. You can't succeed. And every time you fail, that becomes stronger and stronger. How many of you know when you mess up and when you fail, boy, it's like you mess up once, and sometimes, and I don't know about y'all, sometimes, man, if I mess up, I'm just like, forget it. It's over. It's done. You know, that's exactly where the enemy wants us. He wants us to give up. He wants us to go back to the way things were. And if you're following in your notes there, the point of this is never let failure drive you back to what you left behind. Never let it drive you back to what you left behind. But that's what the enemy's goal is for us. And if you're going through failures and you struggle through weaknesses and you've been fighting battles and you feel like you've just slipped and messed up, no, this is where the enemy's taking you. He's not going to stop. He's not going to give up until he has you back in your old way of life. He's having you back in your old way of thinking, doing the old things. He wants to erase everything that God's done for you so far. But God didn't bring you this far to let you go back. I want you to know that today. God didn't bring you, and he didn't bring the disciples this far. Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up that day because he had something to say. Jesus showed up that day because he knew the enemy's plan against them. And he wasn't going to sit by and let the enemy steal what he had built. And the same thing goes for you. Jesus wants to intervene today because he's not going to leave you where you're at. He's not going to let the enemy take away everything that he's built in. And if you will listen to this message today, and if you will grasp hold to the truth in the word today, and what we're going to learn from this passage, and what he taught the disciples, then I believe that God's going to give you everything it takes to continue on. Amen? So we're going to go through this passage. There's three things. There's three different things that Jesus did here in this situation, in this scene. There's three things that Jesus did that I want to bring out. And bring out what I believe that he was saying in those things. The first thing that Jesus did is he recreated the moment when they first met. We already read this passage where Jesus told them in verse 6, he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast it there. Now, they didn't even know it was Jesus at the time. I'm not sure why they listened to the guy on the, there's just some guy on the shore saying, hey, you catch anything? Cast it on the other side. You'll get something. You know, so I'm not sure why they went ahead and cast it, but they did. But when they did and they caught the fish, they remembered something. How many of y'all, this is familiar? You remember in Luke 5? In Luke 5, the first time they met Jesus, Jesus was preaching to a multitude, and they were crowding in on him, and he was by the sea, and so he borrowed a boat. Whose boat did he borrow? He borrowed Peter's boat. He said, let me just push out so I can talk to the crowd. And it says after he got done talking, he told Peter, launch again out in the deep and cast your net. Peter was a professional fisherman. Man, they had told all night. He said, we fished all night, and we didn't catch anything. He's probably thinking, and you're going to tell me to go cast my net? Look, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. But he did. He said, but because of your word, because you asked me to, I'm going to do it. And he cast the net again. And remember in that situation, they hauled in a load so big, Peter had to call for help to get it in. Jesus recreated that scene. Jesus recreated that in that moment. And John said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. He recognized it as the Lord. He said, I've seen this before. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And Jesus wanted to remind them. I believe he recreated that scene that day to remind them of the day that he first met them. To remind them of the day that he first came into their life. Remind them of the day that he called them. Amen? Because after that day in Luke 5, he said, Peter, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He was reminding them of that day. And I believe that God wants to remind us today. Another thing he was reminding them of that He reminded them of that day they first met, but he also reminded them that it was Jesus who chose them. And I think he wants to remind us of that today. Somebody here today needs to be reminded of that. It was Jesus who chose you. It was Jesus who sought you out. It was God who first loved us. Amen? And John 15:16, it says, You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Romans 5:8, says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He chose you. He pursued you. 1 Peter 1:3 says, by his great mercy, we've been born again. I believe that God wants to remind us today that you didn't come after him, that he sought you. And he didn't seek you, and he didn't come after you because of your performance. He didn't come after you because of the great things that you were doing. He came after you because he loves you. He came after you because of his great mercy. Some of us, he called to us and he came after us while we were in the middle of just a bunch of garbage. How many of you, God plucked you out of some pretty rough situations? How many of you, God reached down into your mess at the time and called you out? The enemy wants you to think that because of your failure, because of the things you've messed up in, that you no longer qualify. He wants you to think that because of those things, that you no longer love God. He wants you to think that because of those things, that God has distanced himself to you. But God wants to remind you today that he chose you in the midst of your mess, and he still chooses you today. He still chooses you today. God wants us to know today, first off, we need to remember that none of us were worthy of his love. None of us are worthy of his mercy. We could never earn what he's given us. We can never earn his grace. But he loves you just as much today as he did the day you first felt his presence. And he will never change his mind about you. He hasn't changed his mind about you now, and he never will. It's settled in eternity. He loves you. He loves you. Amen. He reminded Peter of that day. And he wants to remind you of that today too. That he chose you. He loves you. He's appointed you. Everybody say, he's appointed me. He's appointed you to bear fruit. You are God's man and God's woman. And God wants you to know that today. If your failures and your mistakes and your mess ups and you've just been tired and fighting and you just feel like you're not measuring up, God wants you to know today he still chooses you and you are still his man, you're still his woman, and he wants you to rise up and he wants you to take hold of that and know that and give you confidence that as you go out of this place today, you are called, you are chosen. And you are loved. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. The second thing he did in that passage, in that situation, is he recreated the moment of Peter's failure. In verse 7, John 21:7 says, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he needed to remove it, and plunged into the sea. He said, it's Jesus. I got to go, guys. Sorry. See you later. Now, they weren't that far from the shore. I'm not sure why he had to jump. I'm sure the rest of the guys were just like, there goes Peter again, jumping in the water. You know, there goes Peter. He was always the one. He was always the one to speak when everybody else was quiet. He was always the one. You know, he was the only one that stepped out on the water. Remember, when he walked on the water. It was just Peter. I don't know why he jumped out and ran. He just couldn't wait, I guess. He jumped out and he ran and said, it's Jesus. I got to get there. The others were there just shortly after in the boat. I don't know why. But anyway, but he ran. He was tired. He was Jesus. And as soon as they came to land, in verse 9, it says they saw a fire of coals and a fish laid on it. Now, you got to remember Peter. You got to remember what he had done. You got to remember that he had denied Jesus. The last time he saw Jesus alive, he denied him 3 times. And so as he's running up to the shore, I don't know why he was anxious to get there first. I don't know. Maybe he wanted to have a one-on-one and get things settled. I don't know why he wanted to get there first, but he wanted to get there. And as he ran to the shore, he's met with this scene. It says there's a fire made of coals that Jesus had made. Now, this may not be significant to me. I think it is. But there's only one other time in the New Testament that it mentions a fire with coals. There's only 2 times in the New Testament that it mentions that. One is here where he runs on shore. The other time in the New Testament that it mentions a fire with coals was in the courtyard of Caiaphas, whatever his name was, where Peter was warming himself when he denied Jesus. And so I just try to put myself in Peter's mind as he's walking up on that shore. You know, I really believe that this was orchestrated for Peter. That fire of coals, as they sat and ate breakfast, he's looking across that fire at Jesus. I know it had to be going through his mind the scene at the courtyard where he could see Jesus. And he sat there and he denied him three times. Now, why would Jesus orchestrate this and put this scene back in Peter's life? And I believe it's because of this. I don't think Peter had dealt with that. I don't think Peter had yet found forgiveness. I don't think that Peter had yet settled it in his heart that it was okay and that God had forgiven him. I don't think that he had settled that. And I don't think there's a lot of us today. I think that because of our failures, maybe things that we've gone through, maybe things that we've done, and maybe it's not something you've done. Maybe it's something that's been done to you. Maybe there's some unsettled things in your heart. But here's what I do know. I don't know why all this happened, but I do know this. I do know that Jesus wants to intervene in our darkest moments. I know that Jesus wants to step into those moments of failure. I know Jesus wants to step into those moments that make us feel less than. I know Jesus wants to come into those places with us. Not to remind us of how horrible we are. Not to put us down again. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But I believe that he wants to intervene and meet us in those moments so that he can bring healing and restoration in those moments. And I believe that that was his desire with Peter in creating that scene, is that he wanted to meet Peter in that moment of darkness and bring healing that only Jesus can bring. And I believe this morning that there's some of us here that Jesus is saying, I want to meet you in that moment. I want to meet you in those moments of failure, those things that are heavy on your mind, those things that are keeping you frustrated or keeping you from feeling like you can go on and be the man or the woman that God's called you to be. He wants to meet you in that moment, face to face, and he wants to speak healing and restoration into your life. Praise God. I just believe that God has that here for us today. And no matter how bad it is or how bad it hurts, if you will invite Jesus into that moment, then he will begin to restore you, to restore your soul and to bring healing that only he can bring. Don't deny it. Don't hide it. Don't lock it away. Don't shut it off from him, but open up yourself to him and let him restore you. Amen. I don't know what Peter expected Jesus to say as he came up. You know, I don't know. I heard another preacher preaching about this a little while back, and he said Peter probably expected Jesus to say, well, there he is. There's a disciple that denied me not once, not twice, but three times. But that's not who Jesus is. Or maybe he expected him to say, okay, Peter, I forgive you, but I'm not going to forget it. That's not Jesus. That's your mother-in-law. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Not my mother-in-law. I got that from another preacher. So I love my mother-in-law. I do. I really do. Especially since my brother-in-law is sitting right over here. You know, can we erase that part of the message? Can we rewind? Maybe we can just rewind 30 seconds, you know, maybe. So anyway, but no, that's not who Jesus is. That's not who he is. Jesus comes with mercy and grace, and love when we think there should be no love. Grace when we think there should be no grace. Mercy. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. He had to do that for me. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but man, I need a new fresh batch of mercy every day. I think he did that just for me. He didn't have enough in one day to cover me, so he has to plant new and give new mercy every day. Anyway, but his mercies are new every day. That's who Jesus is. He's not sitting there ready to strike you down. He's not sitting there ready to knock you on the head when you mess up. When you mess up and you come to him, he receives you with mercy and with love. Now, Pastor Lane, she's not her. She'll knock you out. But that's when, by the way, thank you for bringing up those chapel services. I had just got to the point where I blocked those out of my memory completely. And so now that all this feeling's coming up again. So, no, she was... I love Pastor Lane. She could come up with some of the best cut downs. I mean, you think you're a teenager and you think you can, you know, roll with the best. She's got something on you. You haven't matched up with Pastor Lane yet. So anyway, but praise the Lord. So the third thing that happened in this scene is that Jesus recreated all the three instances of Peter's denial. In verse 15, John 21:15, it says, so then we had eaten breakfast. Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of Jonah, you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. You know, we already read it. Three times he asked him. And so You know, this is preached a lot of different ways. I've heard a lot of people preach about this, talking about the different verb tenses and things like that. But I believe Peter, I believe Jesus, everybody asks, why did he ask him three times? I believe Jesus wanted to know his response to each one of Peter's failures. I believe he wanted Peter to know. I believe there were three times asked because there were three times they denied. And I believe that Jesus wanted Peter to know. First, I believe Jesus wanted to acknowledge that Peter had failed him, but he wanted him to know that despite his failure, he was still called. And so he asked him three times. He says, I know, and this is the way kind of our picture going in mind. And Jesus is saying, I know you denied me, but do you still love me? You see, the enemy tries to come in, and I don't know about you, but man, when I fail and I mess up, the enemy, the first thing he comes in is that you don't love God. If you love God, you wouldn't do this. If you love God, you wouldn't fail him like this. The enemy wants to first get you convinced to yourself that you don't really love God. And so I know that Jesus, in this moment, he didn't want to let the devil have the last say. We don't have to have to let the devil have the last say. When the enemy comes and says something to us, God wants us to be able to rise up and overcome what the enemy says and speak the truth. Jesus said, I know you denied me, but do you still love me? Peter says, yes, I do. And Jesus said, then feed my lambs. You're still called. You're still called. Peter, I know you denied me a second time, but do you still love me? Peter said, yes, I do. He says, then you're still called. A third time, he says, Peter, I know that you denied me three times, but do you still love me? And Peter said, Jesus, you know all things. You know I still love you. He said, then you're still called. There's still work for you to do, and you're still my man. And God wants you to know that today, that he knows your failures. He knows your weakness. He knew that when he called you to begin with. He knew that when he reached out and called to you the first time. You haven't surprised him by your failures. God's not scratching his head saying, man, I didn't see this coming. What am I going to do now? God knew your failures. And he's saying to you this morning, you're still called. You're still called. You're still called. Amen? Praise the Lord. You're still called. There may be those here this morning that you feel like your failures cancel out your calling. I want you to know this morning that your failures never cancel out your calling. The Bible says that God gives gifts without repentance. That whatever God's called you to, maybe the enemy has sidelined you and making you feel like you don't measure up and that you just can't do what God's called you to. God wants you to know you're still called. You're still his man. You're still his woman. You're still called. And just like he restored Peter that day, God wants to restore you today. God wants to restore you today. Amen. Not too long ago, I kind of found myself in the same situation. And man, I'll tell you what, sometimes I beat myself up more than anybody else. But you know what? I just found myself, I felt like I wasn't doing everything I needed to do. And so, you know, I almost laugh. You guys are like, Jason and Nicole, whatever, you know, thank you, you've done so much. I feel like we haven't done anything. I feel like there's so much stuff that we have not done. There's so much stuff in my life I know that God's called me to do this year. And I feel like I fell short. I feel like I'm way behind. I feel like I've got a lot of catching up to do in the second half. You know? But I found myself kind of in the same situation. I just couldn't seem to get over the hump. I was just in a slump. Like I just wasn't doing everything I know to do, and I just felt like I just wasn't cut out for it. I'm telling you, the enemy was trying to work a number on me. He was trying to push me back and cause me to give up. And one day I was sitting there reading. I was reading my Bible and I saw this scripture in Colossians 1:21. 1:21 and 22. And it says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And the Lord began to deal with me about this. The Lord began to deal with me and he said, you're sitting here seeing yourself as someone who doesn't measure up, someone who is not qualified to carry the torch. And he said, but I see you once you've come to me. And I'd ask forgiveness for everything I felt like I was neglecting or failing. I'd ask God to forgive me. But he said, when you come to me And when you come to me and I meet you with mercy and I meet you with love, I see you as blameless and above reproach. Above reproach. And I saw that and I was like, I don't see myself that way. And God was saying, you don't see yourself clearly. You need to learn how to see you how I see you, above reproach. I mean, that's a strong word, above reproach. Unable to find fault. Unable to lay blame. Unable to assign guilt. That's what that means, above reproach. And he says, you need to start seeing yourself like I see you. You need to start acting like I see you. In Revelation 21:4, it says, the former things have passed away. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away and all things have become new. And God began to speak to me in that moment. He said, I've given you beauty for ashes. You know the scripture. He's given us beauty for ashes. He's given us all a joy for mourning. Amen. He's given us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And some of your last notes that somehow got cut off the end. The last point I had on there was, you are what you wear. You are what you wear. And the Lord started dealing me about that. And he started telling me. And I know it was for me at the time, but right after that, Brother Jerry asked me if I would preach today, and I just immediately knew this was a message for today too. Because how many of you know, when you're going through something, when the enemy's fighting you with something, chances are he's fighting everybody else with the same thing. The devil may be crafty and cunning, but he don't have any new tricks up his sleeve. He fights us with all the same old stuff. Amen? And so I knew that this message was for today, and I pray that it's speaking to somebody's hearts now. But another verse that came to my mind there is Isaiah 61:10. It says, he has clothed me with garments of salvation, and he has covered me with a robe of righteousness. A robe of righteousness. So many times we sit there wallowing around in our guilt and wallowing around in how we don't measure up. And he's sitting there saying, I have placed my robe of righteousness over you. When I look at you, I don't see failure. When I look at you, I don't see weakness. When I look at you, I see the blood of Jesus. When I look at you, I see my righteousness. I've clothed you with the robe of righteousness. And the Lord just began to deal with me on, and we need to start acting like he sees us. We need to start walking out what he says about us. And he brought this to my mind. And I'm going to close with this. And I remembered when my kids were young. It was a long time ago. They're graduated, and one graduated again next year. But I remember when they were little. They used to like to play dress up. How many of y'all have young kids in the house still? They used to like to play dress up. And he just brought this back to my mind. I remember when Sarah used to put on her little princess outfit and her, what do you call it? The crown, the tiara, whatever. Yeah. She used to dress up like a princess and she would put on the crown. And an amazing thing happened. When she would put that outfit on, when she put that costume on, she would start acting like a princess. She would start acting like that crown was real royalty. And I remember Nate, he had a Spider-Man outfit that he used to love to put on. He wore it till it was too tight to wear. You know, he had that Spider-Man outfit on. But when he put on that Spider-Man outfit, he became Spider-Man. When he put on that Spider-Man outfit, he was like, shh, shh. And I didn't see any web. We had to just act it out. Like, oh, he got me. Oh, you know. But when he put that on, man, he became that. He was Spider-Man. And God began to deal with him out. He said, I want you to look at what I'm saying about you. And today, this morning, God's saying to you, look at what I've said about you. Everything that you read in the Word about what I've said about you, that is the truth. Anything else is a lie. Anything else that contradicts my Word is a lie. He said, I've placed a robe of righteousness on you. I've covered you. I've made you above reproach. Now go and start acting out like what I've said about you. Start acting like what the Word says about you. Get out of your pit. Get out of your worrying about your failures and being hung up on your failures, and realize that you are his righteousness and that he's called you to action today, that he's got work for you to do. We've got to finish out this year, and he wants us to finish it out strong. He wants us to go the distance. Amen. You are what you wear. I want you today to put on the strength of God. I want you today to decide that I'm going to accept the restoration that God has for me. Not only did he forgive Peter, not only did he convince Peter or reassure that he loved him, but he placed him back in the ministry. He restored him to his calling. And after that, Peter, he carried the torch proud. After that day, he carried the torch that God gave him to carry. He carried the gospel. He carried the gospel and proclaimed Jesus throughout the land and beyond. He became the man that God called him to be. We wouldn't be sitting here today if it hadn't been for Peter rising up and carrying that torch. God wants you to rise up today. God's got a torch for you to carry. Nobody can carry your torch for you. God's got a torch for you to carry. God's got a torch for you to carry. God's got a ministry and a call for you. And he's saying today, come on. Put your outfit on. Put on my robe of righteousness. Change the way you see yourself. And begin to carry the torch and carry it proud. Amen. God wants to overcome our failures today. And I know it's been long. I know we're mid-year. I know some of you are tired. But God says today, be inspired by my word and carry the torch that I've set before you. And so that's the message today. That's the message to me. I don't know if you were blessed, but I was. God's still working this in my heart. I'm determined that I'm going to be the man that God's called me to be. I'm not going to let my mistakes and I'm not going to let the accusation of the devil stop me or hinder me and ruin what God's got for my life. And if you want to say that with me today, if you want to make that your declaration today, and I want you to stand to your feet. Right there in your seat, I want you to stand. And I tell you what, we're going to close in prayer and I'm just going to believe. I'm going to believe because I know there's people sitting here that you are hurting. I know there's people sitting here and you need God's healing in your life. That you've got some areas in your life, some moments in your life that the enemy is still badgering you about. And God says, I want to put an end to that today. And I want to pour my healing oil into your life. And so we're going to pray. And then if anybody wants special prayer for anything else, After we finish praying, just come to the front and we'll pray for you. Whether you need help, healing, or any kind of miracle of any kind, just come to the front. But today, together, I want us to declare this. Let's just say this together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you don't leave me where I'm at. Lord, I thank you that you see my darkest moments. That you don't want to leave me there. But I invite your Holy Spirit to come into that place. Heal me. Save me. Redeem me. Restore me. So that I can carry out the destiny you have for me. I serve the devil notice now. That no longer will I listen to your lies. But I will listen to the word of God. That says I am more than a conqueror. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am healed. I am set free. And I'm going to carry the torch that God has laid in my hand. In Jesus' name, amen.